And now, The Mentors Radio, one of the most popular and unique shows on the air today. Here each week, remarkable CEOs and leaders, including host Tom Laurie and Dan Hesse, and their guest will mentor you, challenging your thinking about life and work. Sought after for their ethical leadership and advice, and for helping others succeed throughout their careers, now these same CEOs, the mentors, want to help you achieve your highest level of profitability, success, and personal fulfillment in life, at work, and in business. Learn more and check out the show notes at thementorsradio.com. That's thementorsradio.com. And now, here's your mentor.
Welcome. I'm Tom Laurie, and I'll be your host today. Today, we are honored to have Alan Mulally as our guest mentor. Alan served as president of Boeing Information Space and Defense Systems, where he oversaw the development of the commercial and military aircraft, including the 777. Then, as president and CEO of the Ford Motor Company, where he led the Ford transformation into one of the world's leading automobile companies and the number one brand in the United States. He has been widely recognized for his many contributions and leadership. He has been named one of the world's greatest leaders, one of the 30 world's best CEOs, as well as one of the world's most influential people. His success in both his career and in life is rooted in lessons his parents taught him. These provided the foundation for what became his philosophy of work and life, which is embodied in his working together practices and principles, which we're going to explore today. So let's get started. Welcome, Alan, and let's get started by telling us about your parents and what it was they instilled in you. What were those lessons?
Well, Tom, it's great to see you, and it's a pleasure to be with you and share our working together story. Well, my life obviously started out with my parents, and we had very little resources, but we had a lot of love in our family, and our mom and dad were just absolutely terrific. And from as long as I can remember, especially when I started going to school, every day my mom or my dad would stop me on the way out the door, and they'd ask me a question. And for example, here are a few of them. My mom would say, "So, honey, you remember what the purpose of life is?" And I'd say, "Oh yeah, Mom. The purpose of life is to love and be loved." And she'd say, "That's good, honey, but remember, in that order." "Oh, okay, Mom. Okay, thank you." And then the next day, my dad would say, "Remember, honey, to serve is to live." "Thanks, Dad. Understand." Then next day, it'd be seek to understand. And before you seek to be understood, working together with others, you have a chance to make the most positive contribution to the most people. Expect the unexpected. Expect to deal with it positively. Also, lifelong learning and continuous improvement. Respect everyone. We're all creatures of God and worthy to be loved. Develop one integrated life, and that is your life's work of service. And then I'll never forget this one, Tom. It's nice to be important, honey, but it's more important to be nice. So from day one, especially without any resources, I started off believing in my dad, especially on the service to live. So all of the jobs I had growing up through grade school and high school, I just loved serving. And I found out that, boy, the more you serve, the more people appreciated that. And I was able to afford a pair of Levi jeans and some Norwegian shoes and kind of fit into high school. And so I always loved math and physics and science and airplanes. And I went to the University of Kansas and learned a lot about working together there when I joined the Ford Motor Company. And then Nikki and I have been married for 53 years, and we have 5 children. And of course, you learn a lot about working together when you're married and you have children and you're serving. And then the Boeing part was phenomenal because I was on the design team of every Boeing airplane, the 707, the 27, the 37, the 47, the 57, the 67. And I was asked to serve as the chief engineer for the 777. And then the leader of it. And then I was the president of Defense and Space. And then I was asked to be the CEO of Boeing Commercial Airplanes. And so learned a lot, again, about working together. And then on the 777, as you pointed out, Tom, the commitments we made for that airplane to the airlines were so significant and so important that we ended up taking the working together principles and practices that Boeing was world-class at, with already, and we took them to a whole nother level that included everybody, that everybody knew the plan, they knew the status, they knew the areas of special attention. They were absolutely loved up and appreciated. And then I never thought I'd leave Boeing, but the rest of my formation, I got a call from Bill Ford. And I'm thinking, Bill Ford, the great grandson of Henry Ford? And if you're into engineering and manufacturing and procurement and serving and transportation, I mean, he's one of our heroes. So he started sharing me the situation. And the more he shared with me, the tougher it got, the situation they were in, because they had purchased Aston Martin and Jaguar and Land Rover and Volvo and Mazda, and they were really struggling with their main part of their business, which was Ford. So at the end of the day, I agreed to join them because I really felt like I was being asked to serve as second American and global icon. And between Boeing and Ford, that's the reason we are free as a country going through World War II, because we both ended up making all of the military airplanes together. And so the last part of my formation and service is now hanging out with you and getting a chance to share the formation of working together leaders, and also the process and the expected behaviors that go with that to create a culture of love by design.
Well, I want to note that the principles and all of this and the story is embodied in a foreword that you wrote for a book that was authored by Frances Hesselbein, Sarah MacArthur, and also Marshall Goldsmith, called yes. "Work is Love Made Visible." And absolutely. for those people that want to have that, first of all, the book's excellent. It has a number of articles written by many great leaders.
Yeah,
35 leaders.
Yeah.
But in the foreword, Alan has told a little bit about himself and also outlined these principles. So if people are interested in getting a copy of them, that's a great place to go, and it's a great book to get your hands on.
Tom, can I tell you one little story about that?
Sure.
I think everybody would find interesting. So they came to see me, and Frances was the leader. And she said, "Alan, we'd like you to write this forward to the book." And I said, "Well," and I read the book, and there were fabulous articles by fabulous leaders. And I said, "Frances, you don't need me. I mean, you got these fantastic leaders." And she said, "Well, we want you to write the forward because you are one of the best leaders that we have ever met and worked with. And it'll be perfect for setting up the reading for all the other leaders." And I said, "Well, why me, Frances?" And she said, "Well, Alan, everybody knows who you are and what you've done, but they don't know why you are who you are. And why do you smile all the time? And why do you love people? And why do you love creating value for the greater good?" And I said, "Frances, I don't ever talk about myself." And she gets up real close to me, Tom, and she goes, "Exactly. I would like you to write this forward." So that's the reason I wrote the forward. And I have been so surprised and I appreciate so much the feedback, because everything that you just asked me about, people had never really heard that kind of detail. So that is, I sure agree with you. That book is a great force.
We're gonna get in a little deeper on some of those things as well. Okay, so hold that thought. We're gonna be right back. We're with Alan Mulally. This is Tom Laurie, and you're listening to the Mentors Radio Show.
And now, back to the Mentors, where remarkable CEOs challenge your thinking about life and business.
Welcome back. This is Tom Laurie. Today we are with Alan Mulally, who led the transformation of Ford Motor Company into one of the world's leading automobile companies and the number one brand in the United States. Thank you very much for giving us that opener. And I'd like to add something to the opener. I have today with us my nephew, Mark Laurie. And Mark is a wireless network expert and leader. But more importantly, he worked for a number of years at Boeing under your leadership. He was in the trenches, and Mark has quite a story to tell. It's one thing for us to talk about working together, but it's a whole nother thing to hear it from somebody who is in the trenches making things
happen. That's great.
Happen.
Welcome,
Mark. Tell us about your experience.
Well, Alan, it's a real pleasure to speak with you today. It's an opportunity for me to kind of express what's happened in my career since my time at Boeing, which was an amazing time. I was there for 8 years, ending with the 777 program. And I was on a number of programs, but the 777 was really one that was different. I think that the working together motto that we had was far more than a motto. Every significant milestone of that aircraft production, design and production, everybody knew what was at stake, what needed to get done, and we were all involved. And I was just a manufacturing test engineer doing avionics, you know, and working on that little small piece. But, you know, that's the thing about a huge aircraft like that. It's everybody's got to focus on their piece, but know that they're part of something much greater than
absolutely.
That. And I just want to say that, you know, I've transitioned career into wireless years ago and been a leader for a number of years. And I've been reflecting recently on where my values came from. And picking it apart, it really comes back to the principles and values that you have into the working together. And it's remarkable when I go back to it. Because for me, the number one thing is respect for people, because if I can, it starts with respect, and that means listening to them. And that means, and it's both directions and across the team, because with the respect, you start to build trust. And with trust, you can rely on people, and trust is something that people look at as value, and they don't want to lose that trust.
Absolutely.
And once they have that, they're willing to take risks and communicate, and a team becomes alive when you have that kind of trust, respect. And it's worked for me team after team, you know, 1G, 2G, 3G, all the way up to 5G, I've been deploying networks worldwide. And these principles and the transparency and the love, being able to connect with people and really look them in the eye and really connect with them. It's been the most rewarding aspect of my career by far.
That is great, Mark.
Just really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
You bet. Tom, I got to make a comment about what one of the things Mark said a lot of good things about the working together. But what he just described for all of us is a culture that is psychologically safe. What he described is when you're in a company that creates things, then it's an iterative process. It's not linear. So you're going to have surprises. You're going to need to work together to find different solutions along the way. And the most important thing is that everybody knows what is going well and what are the areas that need special attention. And if you don't have a culture that is psychologically safe, where people can say what the situation is, they're going to be very careful to share it. So now you're managing a secret. So what Mark was describing with the trust and the love and the psychological safety goes with that. We had a policy that there's never a joke at anybody's expense. And the reason is it's never funny. But if people think they're going to be the purpose of a joke, then they're going to be very careful to share what the real situation is. And so you can imagine creating a 777 with 9 million parts, talented people like Mark, around 600,000 of them around the world. And so them feeling this psychological safety where they can contribute and help each other is absolutely key. And so, Mark, I think that you absolutely understand completely our working together management and leadership system. So it's great, great to see you too.
So I want to ask Mark to add one more thing, because I know he was very involved, and you and I have talked about it as well. There was a couple of major, major challenges. One had to do with the weight reduction.
Sure.
Mark, tell us a little about how that came down or penetrated the organization and what happened and what the problem was, so everyone knows.
Sure. Oh, man, building a plane of that scale, it's a multi-year process, and you start off with designs. And inevitably, things change, the unexpected comes up. And at some point, you do a tally of what's the weight of this aircraft, total weight, and it's got to be under a certain number to be a viable, you know, for certification. And we were overweight. And it was immediately made known to everybody in the whole project. We got a weight problem. We've got to trim weight. We got to figure out ways to do it. And it was all solutions oriented. It wasn't blame focused. It was absolutely, let's work the problem together. And that was just a, you know, I was a small part of avionics black boxes, and we were looking at how can we change the weight of the chassis to make it look less. But that's the engagement that you want in a team across such a large organization, just a great environment. And then another was the ETOPS. Extended
fantastic accomplishment.
And Alan can speak to the details of this, but we went into this plane not knowing how we were going to get through the ETOPS. We knew we'd find a way, but we didn't know what that way was. And I'd love to hear from Alan on what that was.
Well, this, what Mark said, Tom, is incredible, because all of the long range airplanes had multiple engines, more than two engines. And we really believed that the future was going to be even more reliable engines, and a two-engine airplane was going to be able to provide the capability for an airplane to fly like the 777 halfway around the world and connect people point to point and nonstop, which is what everybody really values. And so what that meant for us is, from a design and a manufacturing and including all the airlines, we needed to work together so that the design could actually do that, and had been verified and had been validated. And we agreed to do that validation before first flight. So you can imagine the testing that we did on components, on the airplane itself, all the conditions around the world. And on day one, we achieved that objective. And United Airlines had the ability to fly halfway around the world. And that now has become the standard for all airplanes worldwide, and the number one vehicle in safety and efficiency around the world is our 777. And part of that was achieving all the different technical objectives. And a big part of that was the weight. So what Mark was describing was everybody, all 600,000 people were all working, no matter how big their parts were they're working on, we're all working to make it do its intended function, but also have it be very reliable weight.
So I'm curious, not having been at Boeing and having that wonderful experience, what was the culture like before you took over the 777 program? Was it kind of there, or did you have to go through a lot to bring it to where you got it? Or,
well, that's a really good question. And the answer is that Boeing was world-class at working together, world-class. Now, they also had, they're coming out of the Industrial Revolution, so there was a little bit of command and control in the leadership team. But over the years, the more airplanes we made, the more airlines we dealt with, then the more we kept learning that by working together and creating a culture that everybody is appreciated, and plus the fact that the people we're hiring now, especially as you move up in management, they know more about a given subject than the leaders do. So now what they need out of the leaders are people that facilitate their dynamite expertise and include them and create this culture of working together. So all I was doing was, based on that formation question you asked, I believed in working together to survive, let alone. And so I just took all those best practices that Boeing had along with everybody else, and we just moved up that working together that culture to the next level. And the people that we asked to serve in the management were the ones that were ready and were excited to start leading with Work is Love Made Visible and including everybody and appreciating everybody.
Okay, we're going to have to go to break. We're going to be right back with Automobile Hall of Fame member Alan Mulally, and we're going to talk about automobiles when we come back. You can listen to this show and past shows on all popular podcast platforms or by going to our website, thementorsradio.com. Subscribe while you're there so you don't miss any future shows. That's mentorsradio.com. This is Tom Lloyd. This is The Mentors Radio.
And now, back to The Mentors, where remarkable CEOs challenge your thinking about life and business.
Welcome back. This is Tom Lloyd. Today, we are with former Ford Motor Company CEO, Alan Mulally. We're going to transition now into the automobile world, but one question is, what is it that you do best, Alan?
I think what I do best is to serve. And I also serve with humility and love. And it's as simple as it sounds. From the day I was born and growing up, like we talked about in the formation, I believed in human beings and humanity, but also working together for the greater good, to helping people move forward in a positive way, especially grow. And that's why I've always just loved engineering. I love creating products that add value to people's lives, and not just for all the stakeholders, but also to add value by serving for the greater good. And you think about commercial airplanes and cars, they're really about safe and efficient transportation. And what do? They get people together safely and efficiently so they can benefit from that. So that's why service with humility and love, including everybody, is always what has driven me.
And it sounds as if you have some blood running through your veins like I do, and that has to do the magic of creation. Talk a little bit about the magic of creation.
My whole life has been like that from day one, and I've always loved looking at whatever products and services there are, but I've always just loved the fact that the human beings are so creative, and if you think ahead about what people will value, if you change it and you talk to them about it, and sometimes even if you talk to them, you want to even anticipate what might have value. I'll just give you one little example. Like the 777 we just talked about, well, point to point, nonstop, not having to go through two or three changes on your way to where you want to go. I'll be darned. What do you think about that? Wow, that has a lot of value. Point to point, I don't have to leave my bags. Think about Ford. I love this story about Ford. One time when Henry was thinking about the internal combustion engine, he was being interviewed, and the interviewer said, so Mr. Ford, that's really fantastic. How did you come up with that idea? Did all the people tell you that would be really great idea to have an internal combustion engine in a car? And he said, no, they just kept saying just to build a faster horse, not to build a car. But it was only so fast we could have the horses go. So the creativity is especially fun because you're looking at human beings and you're looking at their lifestyle, you're looking at what they're doing, and you're thinking all the time, what can we do in the areas that you've chosen to serve in? What can we do to enhance their lives? That's why it's working together to create value for the greater good, no matter what the products and services are.
This is Tom Laurie. We're with Alan Mulally, who has been honored as one of the world's greatest leaders by Fortune magazine. I was on the phone earlier this morning. As you know, I'm in the healthcare field. I was on the phone with a world-renowned ophthalmologist, and we're looking at some ways of applying some of the AI to the diagnosis of serious disease, eye disease. But I told him at the end of the call, I got really caught him by the shorts. I said, David, you are gifted. And I don't think anyone's ever told him that. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you have the gift of curiosity. Curiosity is a gift. And not everyone has it, but it is a very strong an important gift in terms of what we do. So you have that gift. And now, switching gears, we want to get into Ford. We don't want to just talk about Boeing. Why did you go to Ford?
As I mentioned, I never really thought about leaving Boeing. And I had a couple of more new airplanes that I wanted to help support the launch. And then when Bill Ford called and he started sharing with me what the situation was at Ford, the more he shared with me, the worse it got, because they had become this house of brands. They owned all of these different brands of vehicles. Their cost structure was not competitive. They couldn't, with their union agreements, they couldn't manage the scale of their production to meet the real demand. Henry Ford had set Ford up to operate in every country around the world. So there's very little synergy. And we were competing now with large global enterprises. And so we didn't have a competitive cost structure or performance with all the vehicles because they're all different. So at the end of the day, and everybody kept asking me that question, well, why would you leave as the CEO of Boeing and go to Ford when they have all these issues? And Tom, the answer was that I really felt like I was being asked to serve a second American and global icon. And these two companies, Boeing and Ford, are one of the main reasons that we are free as a country, because what we did together during World War II was a major contribution to the United States moving forward. And so it was important. It's important to the United States. It was important for the jobs, for the economic development. And so I felt like this is an opportunity that I really wanted to serve again.
But going into Ford, you're an outsider. You had lots of problems. I have to assume, I was a turnaround specialist, as you know, in the early part of my career. Culture needed to be changed. I've got to believe there was a cultural issue. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw culturally and then how you went about changing the culture? And I know you did it with your working together, but the question is, how did you do it?
That's really an important question. That's just a fun story to start that answer, is that when I arrived, they picked me up at the airport and they took me over to the world headquarters, and they picked me up in a Aston Martin, I think. It wasn't a Ford. And so we get up close and then we go into the garage underneath the building, and I don't see one Ford vehicle there. All the different brands are in there. And I'm going, whoa, I just left Boeing to come to Ford and there's no Ford vehicles here. And there's where all of the leaders, our offices are. So they take me upstairs and Bill walks me out on the stage and they have all of the journalists there. Because to your point, I think I was the first CEO hired from outside the automobile industry. And so they were all there. They knew there were problems in the United States with the manufacturers, and they wanted to know who this person was. So Bill walks me out on the front of the stage and he says, okay, Alan will answer some of your questions. And I see they started raising their hand and asking all these questions about myself and what I'd done and why I was there and blah, blah, blah. And then they finally, one of the leaders said, so Mr. Mullally, you know, you know about airplanes, but you don't know anything about the automobile industry. And it's very, very sophisticated, starting with the vehicles themselves. And so what does it mean to us that you don't know anything about this and you're our new CEO? I said, well, I agree with you. You know, the vehicles are very sophisticated and the energy is very sophisticated. Matter of fact, the F-150 has around 10,000 parts. And you think about the safety and the efficiency and the reliability, the maintainability, and the systems engineering, very sophisticated vehicles. I might point out that the 777 airplane has 4 million parts and it stays in the air. And next day,
let's hold that thought a second. We're going over time here. We have to go to break and we'll be right back with Alan Mullally. We're going to talk more about when he came to Ford. If you enjoyed the show and are listening on your favorite podcast platform, make sure you give us a 5-star rating. While there, this is Tom Laurie and you're listening to the Mentors Radio Show.
And now, back to the Mentors, where remarkable CEOs challenge your thinking about life and business.
Welcome back. This is Tom Laurie. We are with Alan Mullally, and we're discussing the merits of an integrated life with principles and practicals that he's evolved over years. If you're listening to this show on your favorite podcast platform, please scroll down and give us a 5-star review to help others find us. So we were talking about the number of parts in a 777. And how, when you look at an F-150, it was minuscule. So why don't you pick it up there?
Well, so I pointed out that they were right. You know, the automobiles are very sophisticated, especially with their 10,000 parts and all the safety and performance and reliability and maintainability. And I just pointed out that the 777 airplane has 4 million parts and it stays in the air. So the next day in the Detroit News, I think there's a headline that said, I think we got the right guy. And so the reason that I decided to go and work with Bill Ford, because he's absolutely fabulous leader himself, was that this was a very important company and the culture was going to be really important. He explained all of that to me. And of course, they were all separate around the world. So the biggest thing that we did is that we, on our strategy, we developed our one Ford plan, just like we had our one Boeing plan, even though we have multiple airplanes. So we got everybody together, working together for the first time. We also, divested all of the other brands besides Ford so we could focus on Ford. And then we also committed to a complete family of vehicles on Ford, small, medium, large cars, utilities, and trucks. and every vehicle would be world class at fuel efficiency and safety and reliability and sustainability and pricing. And so when we added all that together and we included everybody around the world to work together as one team, then we actually went from a situation where the first year I was there, they were forecasting a $17 billion loss, which we achieved. And so it wasn't a finance accuracy issue. We just needed a better strategy plan. To 8 years later, we were profitably growing. We'd become, within a few years, the number one brand in the United States, one of the fastest growing around the world. And we didn't take any government money when GM and Chrysler went into bankruptcy during the financial crisis. So the working together by pulling everybody together, having one plan, one strategy for achieving it, everybody knowing the plan, everybody knowing the areas of special attention. We actually color-coded their slides, green on plan, yellow, we have an issue, we have a solution. Red, we have an issue, but we don't have an answer yet. But that red is like a gem. We would say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then we go to work, turn the reds, yellows, to greens, and we deliver our products, meeting all the requirements on schedule.
This is Tom Laurie. We're with Alan Mulally, who's been honored as the Chief Executive of the Year by the Chief Executive Magazine. When you talk about the one plan, the one Ford, I came out of a highly decentralized corporation, American Hospital Supply. And I'm kind of get my hands, and you've got a lot of different divisions at Ford. You may have gotten rid of some of the other brands. What do you mean about the one plan? How do you get there with such a large organization?
Well, that's really an important question. And the way we do it is we share the plan with everybody. And this is very rare for businesses. And we share the details of the strategy. We include everything about the product line, everything about the process we're going to use to create the products, and everything about the people, their education. And we also we use a matrix organization that has the profit and loss leaders up and down, and then it has all the functional leaders going across, so that engineering, manufacturing, procurement, everybody is staffing all the different products, and they're comparing notes across all of it, and they're also working to get the best synergy. So, and then we have a business plan review every week, and then every week, I've been doing this for 47 years, I think I missed maybe 10 business plan reviews, is that in 2 hours, we go around the table and every member of the team shares their contribution on the strategy and the plan and the color coding it, what the status is. And then we work together to turn the reds to yellows, greens. And you can imagine the discipline when this team is meeting every week with everybody around the world. The data flows down around the organization, out to the suppliers. We include everybody, all the stakeholders. And then back it comes next week with changes in the color. So everybody knows the plan. They feel good about it. And people never miss a meeting. They want to watch. My kids used to, when we were on the road, they would want to see the business plan review because they wanted to see all the colors changing and what was happening. So the fact that you are sharing everything and trusting that process of working together and turning the reds to yellows to greens, then you're going to be absolutely meeting all the requirements.
So I'm out in California in the world of ventures and everything. How would you advise somebody like me to adapt to this? I mean, you're talking about a very large company. How would you adapt to a smaller, maybe a growth company, maybe even a mom and pop business?
Okay, so the answer to your question is the working together leadership and management system and its culture, this connected and collaborative culture of love by design to create value for all the stakeholders, works on every size company, including yourself by yourself, including your family, and then any size company that you're working for. And you might want to know this, but everybody does, but you might not want to know it today. But we, Nikki and I, actually used a version of the business plan review every week, which we called a family meeting. And if you want to know more about that, I'd be glad to tell you. But it's phenomenal. No matter what size organization, you come together around a compelling vision for that organization, what you're about, what the strategy is for achieving that vision, and then a relentless positive implementation plan where everybody knows the reds, the yellows, the greens, and you're working together to deliver that compelling vision for all the participants.
So going back, and maybe what we'll do is we'll close this segment out and come back because I've got another question. We can carry it over into the next segment. We are with Alan Mullally. We'll be back in a minute. This is Tom Laurie, and you're listening to the Mentors Radio Show.
And now, back to the Mentors, where remarkable CEOs challenge your thinking about life and business.
Welcome back. This is Tom Laurie. We're with Alan Mullally, and we're talking about working together. So, and I don't want to lose sight of this. When you came into Ford, I'm curious, this is personal curiosity now. Did you develop a vision right away? Did somebody, I mean, did that evolve or did you have a vision? Doing turnarounds, I'm into this vision thing. And when did you seize on the vision?
Well, vision, absolutely. A compelling vision is absolutely the starting point because it has to be so clear that everybody associated with the business, including all the stakeholders, starting with the employees. And so when I arrived at Ford, that was a question, that was my first question that I had with the entire team after we put the team together. And it was really great because the vision, the more that everybody understands it and they also believe in it, then the more successful you're going to be. And so they were sharing with me all throughout all of their careers, the different visions that Ford had. And we were keeping track of it all. And we all were kept looking at it and looking at it. And the list got longer and longer. We got to know more about it. And then all of a sudden, we're all looking at each other. We're going, whoa, look at Henry Ford's original vision. And we had this, I forget what the magazine was, 1925. And in this magazine, Henry lays out the vision. And at that point, he had 50% market share worldwide. And he was growing the business rapidly. And his vision going forward was to open the highway to all mankind so everybody can move around. And we all sat back and we looked at each other and we said, holy cow. I mean, this works for Ford, Boeing also. I mean, this is safe and efficient transportation. So we all agreed and we distributed that drawing, that newspaper article to everybody inside and outside. It had it huge on the walls and stuff, and people loved it. So the rest of the strategy of having a complete product line, small, medium, large cars, utilities, and trucks, the performance characteristics, the availability, all of that was just absolutely aligned with that compelling vision of growth of our business to absolutely allow all the people in the world to move around the world safely and efficiently.
Yeah, that's a great story because it goes right back to the vision of the founder. And so many people get lost along the way. So we only have a couple of minutes left. And I know this is an area where you get a lot of questions and a lot of interest. Talk more about the family and the implementation of these working together philosophy and the Sunday meeting. Give us a little bit more meat on that
bone. Yeah, let me check and see if any of the kids here or my wife's here because they always think this is a kick when I share this with people. Okay, so Nikki and I, our plan, our vision was we wanted to have five children and we were doing well on our plan. After about the second, maybe the third one, I approached her one day and I said, so honey, it's getting very complicated here with all the children. So we need to have a business plan review every week where we review the vision, the strategy, the plan, the status, and areas need special attention. And she said, honey, this is not Boeing. This is our family. I said, okay. And so I waited a week and I thought about some more. Back to your thought about innovation and creativity. And I said, okay, Nikki, how about we have a family meeting every week? And she's, oh, well, what we do in the family meeting? What would the agenda look like? I said, well, when we come back from church, then we'll all go around, and we had seven people. We all go around the house, pick up all of our own stuff, including mom and dad, take it back to the lockers, take it back to the rooms, because a bomb looks like it went off after a week with all seven people there. And then she said, okay, number two, he said, well, then everybody will go back to their room. They'll get the laundry, bring it all down to the laundry room. We'd always have two washers and two dryers, because with seven people, you need to do this all at one time, or you're doing this all week long. And so we do the laundry, then everybody would bring all of the laundry down, dump it on the kitchen table, and we'd sort all the socks and everything else. And you can see how that was a compelling vision, because it took us just a couple of minutes to sort everything. And if you're doing it by yourself, you could be there for hours, let alone try to figure out whose stuff was whose. So we do that, take that back.
About a minute. We got a half a minute to wrap up.
Okay, and they come back with their schedule. We go through the schedule for the coming week. We all help each other, whether they need cheerleading service or driver or whatever. And then we go through the business strategy and a plan and the areas need special attention. They share that. And so a couple of times later on, when they're old enough to have a drink and we'd be together, and they started laughing about all the different things we did at the family meeting. And I finally said, you guys sound like you might not have loved those family meetings. And one of them said, so Dad, do you remember what the last agenda item was in the family meeting? I said, no, I don't. And one of them said, you passed out the allowances. Of course we had to come to the family meeting. And well, every one of the five children now, everyone is running a family meeting every week, and they're doing great.
Yeah, there you go. So our time's up. We could have gone on for hours. Our guest mentor today has been Alan Mullally, who oversaw the development of the 777 while at Boeing, and then led the transformation of Ford Motor Company to becoming one of the world's leading brands. Alan, thanks a lot for your time today. Thanks for joining us. We're going to provide a link on our website to the book Work is Love Made Visible, where you'll find the foreword, where Alan's lessons learned from his parents and the working together principles and practices are being discussed. And that's thementorsradio.com, thementorsradio.com. Join us next week at the same time for the next edition of The Mentors Radio. Until then, this is Tom Laurie signing off for today. Remember to be all that you can be and keep the candle lit for all who struggle in the darkness.
It's been The Mentors, where remarkable CEOs challenge your thinking about life and business. To get more information about the program or a sponsor, to download a podcast of today's show, or to leave a question for our host, go to thementorsradio.com. That's www.thementorsradio.com. The preceding program, copyright CBJ LLC, all rights reserved.